comics have been scaring readers for years. Is there anyone brave enough to sit down with their creators? This is Discussions with Decapitated Dan.
This week on Discussions with Decapitated Dan, writer Rafael Nieves and artist Dan Doherty join us to talk about the haunting tales of horror wolves. Discussions with Decapitated Dan is brought to you by Curious Goods and Comics.com. Don't be afraid to lose your head over all the savings. CuriousGoodsAndComics.com, where Decapitated Dan gets his books.
So, welcome everybody to this week's Discussions with Decapitated Dan. Joining me this week, our show... I don't even know the right word. What's the word? Mainstays. There you go. Thanks, Dan.
How about that?
Thanks,
Dan. You're welcome.
Show mainstays who make, I don't know, umpteen appearances throughout the year, and... Rafael Nieves and Dan Doherty. What's going on, guys?
Hello. How are
hey
you?
Yeah.
So, you know, as we always start off, we won't get into the typical who are you, or we won't do the typical how'd you get into everything, but who are you and what do you do?
Raf.
I am Rafael Nieves. I'm a 20-year veteran of the independent comic wars, and I'm happy to be here.
I am Dan Doherty. I'm a 20-year graduate of grade school, and I'm also happy to be here. I've been in comics for about 5 or 6 years, I think, and Raph and I are very frequent collaborators, and there you go.
And as I mentioned, you guys have been on the show before, so anyone interested in... Past.
If you don't know who we are, then come on, people. Ego.
Yeah, this coming from the guy whose band plays every week on the show.
Yeah, come on. Let me in. Because my clothes are sticking to my skin.
Well, we're here to talk about a book that you guys are working on with friend John Aranza. And, you know, let's start with the basics. Where did the concept come from for this? Well, what's the name of it? Start there. What's the name of this?
The name of the book is Haunting Tales of Horribles, being based off of the store Horribles out in Berwyn, Illinois, which and it specializes in Oscar memorabilia. I don't know. Can you even put a point on what that store does? It does so many things.
The store is
memorabilia.
Yeah, definitely that. John Aranza, the owner of Horribles, is a, as one would expect, a huge Horribles. Well, I said that wrong. He's a huge monster memorabilia guy. He's been collecting monster memorabilia since he was a young lad, and one day decided to turn that into a business. And the store, which it's in Berwyn, borders, it's on Roosevelt, and borders Berwyn and Oak Park, those beautiful, beautiful hamlets, is well known for carrying a vast array of memorabilia, from limited edition toys and figures to movies to T-shirts to books to really, really rare props. I know that just recently they acquired some props from the film Inglourious Basterds. I know for a fact that he's got an axe from that was wielded by Chris Walken in Sleepy Hollow. I know because I not only held the axe, but I also tried to destroy John's store with it.
And failed.
Horribles is definitely it's. In the comic, at one point, I call Horribles Monster Mecca. So anyone who's got an interest in horror films or science fiction should definitely check that
and
store
that,
out.
It's kind of cool that you guys are playing on this fact, because if you look back at certain things, like take Tales from the Dark Side, what was the one I just saw? Friday the 13th, the TV show. They all take place in these stores, and stories develop around that. So, you know, kind of go into that and how it's all going to play out in this book.
Well, first of all, how Dan and I actually got involved in doing this Haunting Tales of Horribles is we've done a number of signings for our books, both together and individually, at Horribles. Horribles doesn't carry a lot of comic books. They have a very discerning taste in terms of what they carry. Dan and I have both been really fortunate to be able to place home on another number of occasions. And it was during one of the signings, probably for, here comes the plugs, either our wonderful graphic novel, The Apocalypse Plan, about the story between war and heaven and hell, or Bob Howard, Plumber of the Unknown, a book that Dan and I do together about a plumber who fights monsters. Please look that up, ladies and gentlemen. John asked us if we would be interested in working with them on a store based on a comic based on the store. And Dan and I, to our credit, both said, "Yeah, let's do it."
Is that how it was said, Dan?
It
just
was,
like that.
We were watching a lot of Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, so like we were in that mood when he approached us. We're like, yeah.
It was, I think I turned to Dan and
then I said, "Whoa!" I think I actually said, "Whoa!" after
that. Yeah, you did.
Whoa.
You did. And then I think I said, "Dude," and then Dan said,
"Yeah,
dude." So that
was
pretty funny.
I was like, "Stoke crates." Yeah, it was a great time.
Anyways.
So that's how we got involved in Haunting Tales of Horribles and in doing this comic.
Okay.
As to what it is, Haunting Tales of Horribles is it's an anthology, a number of stories that take place in and around the store called Horribles. And one thing I want to mention before we get too far into this is that the Horribles in the comic book is not necessarily the real life Horribles, certainly for a number of reasons. But one of the things that we all talked about was that we really wanted to be able to have a lot of creative license in telling these stories and not be limited by the store's physical size, location, or contents. So, as you mentioned earlier, DK, this really is kind of we take this real place and we use it as a jumping off point to tell these really wonderfully macabre stories. End of plug.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Dan, you want to add anything to that?
Well, I think the idea was that we wanted to create this this space for all these different ideas we had. I mean, we didn't want to be so true to the store that it ended up strangling the creativity of, of what we came up with story-wise. And Raph had all these awesome ideas, and it was like, well, yeah, that's incredible, as long as we're not thinking that it's, really attached to, the tangible horrible. So, I don't know, what's nice about this, I think, is we're setting up some groundwork for, I hope, would be, and this is getting maybe a little bit too ahead of the cart, but, an ongoing anthology where, it would be something that people would see as like, this is the place to go for these awesome little short stories about horror and just, eerie, spooky stuff.
Sure. Now, let me ask you guys this, in terms of the content, is it just you guys and John working on the book? Is anyone else involved in it?
So far, it's just, John actually gave us an excellent contribution story-wise. We were kind of riffing, I think, at a dinner one night. He told us this story. I don't want to give too much of this away, but he gave us a story that gave a great groundwork for how Horribles came about. And it was true. I mean, it was something that he,
it was basically the backstory of John himself and how he came to be with the store. And we obviously massaged that a little bit for the book's purposes. So John contributed to that. Raph and I have, the bulk of it being Raph, have come up with some stories, and then I'm doing all the artwork. In the future, who knows? I mean, it's still in its infancy.
Yeah, please, God, let's get this first book done, and then hopefully it'll do well enough that we can do more. But in terms of who's doing the book, I mean, as Dan mentioned, John did provide the story and the backstory for how he came to be the Monster Man, and how Horribles came to be, and then I took that and turned it into a comic script, and Mr. Doherty himself also contributed a story as well as the artwork to a story, and actually one of our donors, which we will get to in a second, one of our donors actually suggested a story to us that we like quite a lot, and we're going to be adapting that for the book as well. It's going to be it's a 48-page anthology, so even though Dan and I, with contributions from John and this donor, Ernesto Vina, you know, we're doing the bulk of it, but we also have a number of pinups from a lot of really talented artists, many of whom actually frequent Horribles. So it was kind of easy to find these guys and say, hey, you know, you're an artist, you've been to the store, can you provide a pinup for it?
So you've mentioned donor a few times, but we haven't really gone into the campaign or anything. Tell me about how the campaign started. You know, why go the campaign route? How did the campaign go?
Because we actually wanted to have the book get made.
There you go. Yeah. it doesn't get any simpler than that.
We wanted to do this.
And we wanted all of our friends to want us to do it too. You know, we told you how the idea for the book came about, but the reality of how the book came about was a Kickstarter campaign. John Aranza, fabulous businessman that he is, smart enough to realize that we were going to need money to make this book a reality, and so we all kind of agreed that a Kickstarter was the way to go, and in order to be able to fund the process, not only the creation of the book itself, but also the printing of it, and hopefully, again, not wanting to put the horse too far in front of the cart, but once this book gets done, hopefully it'll sustain itself into future volumes. But we knew we needed some dough to get this thing off the ground. And so we did what I think was a phenomenally successful Kickstarter campaign. We got quite a lot of pledges, and we had a fairly interesting reward for certain pledge levels. Am I saying that right?
Or donation levels or donor levels, but yeah, it was. I thought we did a really excellent job of giving people something that they would feel is worth their, you know, their hard-earned money. It's not exactly an easy time to be donating money to comic books, but we had for certain tiers. You know, it was just the lower tiers were, of course, getting the book and getting certain memorabilia that would go along with it, but then at certain levels, it started to become, you know, you can get drawn into the book, or you can get drawn into the book and get an original page of artwork. Or I believe the top tier was you get the cover art and all the other stuff below it, right?
Yeah.
A party at Horribles.
You get a party at Horribles, too. And anybody who knows us knows that we really, really don't need too much of a reason to have a party at Horribles. But so it worked out really well. But yeah, the top donor got the original painted art that that Dan did for the cover. Their name, likeness, in the book, the page that they appear in, the original artwork for that, and then the party. So it's a pretty good deal all the way around, and we were very, very lucky that we had people who were really into what we were attempting to do, and we got a lot of great support. We had a lot of $100 donors, and their reward was that we would draw them into the book at our discretion, of course. So I'm doing some evil things to some of them, and then we had a couple of $200 donors who got who get drawn into the book, and then of course get original page of art. So we had a good time.
Now, had you guys tried Kickstarter before this?
Yes.
Okay, well, let's talk about that, because I've never really had anyone on the show where we've actually kind of discussed Kickstarter.
Well,
what are your thoughts?
Go ahead, Dan.
I think it's a great concept. Yeah, I think I've learned a lot. I've been involved with three of them now, and this was the only one that successfully funded. And I think that that's due to a lot of variables in the whole thing. But my main thing, honestly, is there is a certain level of timing, and there's also I think it goes back to what you put at your pledge levels, like what you offer people. And, you know, this is such a new thing, you know, relatively speaking, that I think that it's easy to make a mistake on what you think is worth somebody's money. So for this one, I mean, this was the one that succeeded, and I think that this is the one we're going to learn a lot from. The other ones, you know, learned what not to do, although they were, you know, great projects. They were stuff that in maybe in a different time and a different presentation would have been great. But I think if you want to do a Kickstarter, by the way, PDFs are not incentives. It's just something that's...
Boom!
Yeah. That's not an incentive. And I don't think... I never thought that they were, but I did think that maybe I was wrong. And that's, you know, obviously like the tail of the tape shows what happened. I think you really have to focus on your video and make that a really strong and entertaining presentation and something to get people excited about. And I feel like with Horribles, we did the best job of three of getting, like, you know, just something that's fun and a good time, but also setting the tone for what the book will be and getting people excited about where they're putting their money, you know. And then, I don't know, finally, again, I think that, like, the other thing is, like, you have to have, like, a killer top prize. It's got to be something that's, like, people are vying for, because we sold that top prize pretty quickly.
We really did, yeah.
I think that went within the first week or so. Like, it was gone. It was snatched up, and it was like, that was the tipping point in my head where I was like, this might really happen. Like, this was, you know, this was becoming real. To be fair, though, with one of the other books that I tried with Kickstarter, the top prize went right away. We still didn't get it. So, I mean, I think you really do have to remember that your small prize, like the small reward, is important too. You can't keep it a PDF. It has to be like a hard copy of the book or something tangible.
Sure.
Anyway.
Sure.
End rant.
Yeah. Anything you want to throw in, Raph? Since it was your first time with
Kickstarter. Even though it was my first time with Kickstarter, having pledged to a number of different projects over the last few years, I thought I knew what worked and what didn't work. And I think Dan and I both share the idea that you really want to be able to give something of value. People are spending their money, and you want to make sure that they get something that's viable and tangible in return. And we really did try to. We fought long and hard, and it was definitely the unholy trinity of Dan and John and myself trying to come up with what we thought would be solid, not only prizes, but also very well thought out levels in terms of what we were asking for. And I think the rewards really reflected that. I mean, we had bottom line, like a $6 pledge got you a copy of the book, you know? And a $20 pledge got you a signed copy of the book and a print as well. So we really tried to keep the rewards consistent with the levels or the pledges that we needed, but we also tried to keep the pledge levels very, very attainable. You know, if you got $6, you're going to spend it on something. Spend it on a comic.
Yeah.
You tell.
Yeah.
That goes out to our new audience, TMV Cafe.
Oh, hey, TMV Cafe.
Hi there.
Welcome.
No, that's very, very true. I mean, and you know, I think you had the right approach to it. Like you, I like the fact that Dan, you even went in to break down, you know, the pledge levels, because I completely agree. If you're going to give me a PDF, that's a $2 pledge.
Yeah, that's. I mean, which, you know, kind of speaks to where we're at. I don't know. We're still kind of that bridging that gap between, you know, where's tangible comics value versus online comics and such. And I think when you're putting your money down, I think we all still have that need to have something in our hands as a result. And a PDF, unless you put it on like a little flash drive or something, is not tangible.
Sure.
I don't know. So yeah, I mean, I think if anyone is taking notes here feverishly. For their Kickstarter, listening to us, I'm assuming everyone listening to us is doing that. No PDFs. Don't even bother with it. Don't even give it the option.
Now, with the success of the first Kickstarter, and you know, how many? Do you guys have an idea on how many books are already pre-sold? How many issues? How many copies?
Oh my gosh! I think we've got. Holy crap. You know what? I don't even know. A lot.
A lot.
A lot.
More than you can wrap your hands around.
At this point, is there a way to pre-order the book? Minus doing the copy, because you can't go
Kickstarter
out.
I'm glad that you mentioned that, DCAP. In fact, we're still getting people who are donating money to it. There's a couple things that people can do. Certainly at Horribles itself, located at 6729 West Roosevelt Road in beautiful Berwyn, Illinois.
Berwyn!
People can actually walk into the store. Yeah, bam, bam indeed, my friend. People can walk into the store and actually buy an 11 by 17 copy of the beautiful cover art that Dan did for $10. And they, for their $10, they can come back later on and pick up a copy of the book when it's ready. And people can donate directly to Horribles. They should go to horribles.com, HORRORBLES.com. And while they're, you know, looking around at all the cool stuff that Horribles has to offer, they can also contact the store and send a message to John and tell him that they're interested in donating some dough, and he'll tell them how to do it. Because you can send the money to me, but I'm just going to put it in my pocket and walk away.
Very cool. Very cool. Now, with the success of this, and not to, like you guys have said, not to jump too far ahead, would Kickstarter be the way to go for a second issue? Do we think that there's funding based off of the first issue for a second issue?
My feeling is that Kickstarter is good as a one-time thing. I think that I think it's very, very easy to get starry-eyed, especially when we have a success like we did with this, to want to dip back in the well again, and that baby will be dry. That's just my personal opinion. We needed seed money.
Kickstarter for a reason. It's not
right.
The whole
right.
Kick,
you know,
kick middle. Kick
fund
out.
My entire project.
Right. So yeah, so hopefully the success of the first issue will allow us to success both creatively and financially will allow us to go back and do a second one. We've already discussed the possibilities here, and if the first issue does well, we're planning on the idea of possibly doing a quarterly. And although Dan and I will be very intimately involved with subsequent issues, we're actually talking about opening the book up a little bit to other creators.
Well, that is partially due to the general interest we've had from friends and colleagues that really, you know, asked him, like, so is this something that people can get involved in? And I think, you know, at first we've been saying, limiting it to the pinups, because Raph and I, along with, you know, John and Raph and myself have really wanted to establish a certain tone to the book and feeling, just kind of, you know, get the groundwork laid. But then beyond that, it would be nice to have, you know, contributors and I don't know how regular, but just creative teams getting involved with, like, little short stories in there.
Right.
Yeah, this Haunted Tales really has a... it really is kind of a descendant of EC Comics and the old Warren magazines. That's why I think you know, the Haunting Tales really is a descendant of the old EC and Warren magazines, and that was something that John was really interested in maintaining. That sense of doing these short stories and having them have real impact in their brevity. And certainly with Dan and myself, we've done enough short stories together in Bob Howard and some other projects. It's something that I enjoy doing as well. I love being able to see how much impact I can get into as few a number of pages as possible. And of course, it lends itself well to further volumes of Haunting Tales if we do have creative teams involved.
Sure. All right. Well, we got about 5 minutes to go, and let's jump tracks, because of all the times you guys have been on the show, I don't think you've ever answered this question, and that's probably the most horrific thing that's ever happened to you at a show.
The most is that horrific or terrific?
The most horrific thing that's ever happened to me where? At a show?
At a con, yeah.
At a con. Oh, okay.
Whether you be walking around or it happened while someone came up to you at your table.
Okay. You Raph, you want to take this? You want me to
go? No, you go ahead.
Okay. I mean, can it be hilarious?
Yeah, of course it can.
I mean, are we using horrific as in, like, I actually peed a little, or, like, is it horrific as in,
whatever.
Like, how dare that person do that? That kind of deal?
Whatever works for you, okay. Works for me.
I mean, the initial thing that came to mind was Blagojevich. was him showing up to the Comic-Con at Wizard World, 2 years ago, whatever it was?
Yep.
We had been bamboozled by that guy all week. We somehow attracted the attention of a radio station, like, previously in that week, you know, prior to actually attending the show, and they saw our comic, Bob Howard, and they were like, well, you seem to be comic creators, and we need to talk about comics, so why don't you come down to the station and talk to us a little bit about what you do and about your book? And so for two people who, you know, have a very... you know, beloved but still very indie comic, we were like, yes, we can go out there and promote our stuff and be the flavor of the month for Wizard World.
Oh, man, we saw ourselves making tens of dollars off that thing.
I pictured myself diving into a thing of gold coins a la Scrooge McDuck after the dust had cleared from this. But what happened was, I think the morning of or the night before, they called us and said, you know, the Blagojevich verdict has just come in, so we're going to be covering that pretty heavily. I don't think we're going to get to you tomorrow. How about you come in on Thursday, which is the first day of the con? I think it was Thursday.
Yeah.
And we were like, all right, you know, like, we'll absolutely do it, but now it's creating some maneuvering for us. We had to really, you know, bump our schedules around. We do this, of course, and then, you know, Thursday comes, and, oh, you know what, we're still covering Rob Blagojevich. I was like, you got to be kidding me. So we lost the interview completely. They just said, we'll have to do another time, and it's been years that hasn't happened. So we get to this show, and we think that, all right, he's screwed us twice. There's no way he could get us a third time, and we were wrong. He came to the show and was signing autographs for like $80 a pop, and basically created some sort of like strange bottleneck of paparazzo / you know, people like loved it. It's almost like a train wreck. Like, you look at it and it looks terrible, but you can't look away, kind of thing. up at the yeah, it was like a Blagojevich train had derailed in the front of the show, and nobody could get past the main doors. So for like a good chunk of, was it Saturday?
Yeah.
He basically kept the rest of the show dry, you know, with his terrible hair and that winning charm.
You will never ever see a group of people, comic book people, so unified as they were at Wizard World whenever an announcement that Blagojevich was signing came out on the over the PA. Like the whole artist alley was like, no, yeah, it was awful.
Yeah. It was an amazing
and yet it was a really nice sense of solidarity between all of us.
We can't agree on everything. You know, you got your Star Wars, your Star Trek, you got your X-Men, your Avengers, you got your Batman, your Superman. Some people have their opinions. But one thing that everyone can unanimously say boo to is Rod Blagojevich. And that was my most horrific tale.
Well, in political news, which is funny because I just heard that he is now claiming to be an alcoholic, so he can get time off of his sentence.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something like he's just announced that he's going to be writing a comic book about his life.
Yeah,
and that it'll premiere at Wizard World or something.
I think Blue Water Fame already did that.
He's also creating a Haunting Tales of Horribles.
Yes.
Oh, come on.
All right. Well, we wrap it up with and Raph, I'm sorry, but on you know, we'll have to get to your
horror. Oh no, that's it. I share that horror with Dan.
He was there.
Okay. Yeah.
I know. All right, we wrap it up with any shows. I know it's the beginning of the year, any shows that we're ready to pimp or signings for the upcoming year.
Well gosh, you know, funny you should mention that, DK.
There's this little thing called DanCon.
That's just for you and me, though, right? Dan?
Yeah, just me and you. Only people named Dan. Raph, I'm sorry.
Oh, I was going to change my name, too, just so I can be a part of it. But now that I know that you won't even have that.
Raph, you want to field this? I'll stop talking.
No. You're right. We're going to be doing DanCon in, what is it, March or something?
Yeah.
Sunday, March.
Yeah. We'll be doing DanCon, of course, and we might even have copies of Haunting Tales of Horribles ready to be purchased. And we'll be doing the standards for Dan and me. We'll be doing the C2E2. We'll be doing Wizard World. I think there's a Kokomo convention in our future somewhere, and Detroit. And anyone who's listening, we're happy to appear at your show. Tell us how to get there. Talk us up big. Send us a plane ticket or a train ticket. Put us in a hotel room. We're there. And we're a good time.
Yeah.
Raph and Dan, the party people.
We're hilarious.
Very cool. Drop some websites on us, guys.
Horribles, HORRORBLES.com, where you can find all your monster movie memorabilia, and also where you'll be able to get copies of Haunting Tales of Horribles when that comes out.
Yes.
Bob Howard Plumbing.com, where you can find many, many lovely things that relate to our silent plumber who fights monsters. Oh, by the way, real quick, Bob Howard 4 will be coming out this year. For everyone who's been asking, Dan and I just need to finish up this Haunting Tales thing, and then we're right back on it, and it is going to be a game changer, people. Okay.
Yeah, the story Raph told me is awesome. You're going to love it. You're going to love it. As far as websites, I think that's it. I think the only one I would add is mine, because I also have all of our collaborations up on there as well, but BeardoComics.com, and you know, find us on Facebook too. We're into the interwebs.
Very cool, guys. I want to say thank you for taking the time, John. I know you're out there listening. Sorry you couldn't make it to be a part of this, but we'll get you next time.
Right on. Thanks very much, DCAP.
Thanks, DCAP.